Baseball is a changing, and it's leaving Norm behind. I stepped 1 foot into the meeting room this morning.
He said, Mike, sit your ass down.
Let me tell you that I have a segment about baseball, and I don't like it. And whoa. I went, whoa, all right, that's all I need to hear. Yeah. You go right ahead, so let me hand it over to the Rev.
Get out of the way.
So he can tell us why baseball is changing and why it's leaving Norm behind.
25 years ago, my dear late friend Dave Lawson and I wrote a book called Baseball Essential. It was our attempt to break down literally every player in the major leagues. There was a write-up on every player in the major leagues. And then we studied several other things about the game. And I watch the game now, and it's still baseball. But the analytics people are taking over this game. It's just starting to drive me a little crazy.
How so?
There are certain players that are good everyday players. And all of a sudden, these 155 games a year players are playing 130 games. Because analytics says, well, it'd be better if you'd take this lesser player and play him today because of matchups. And it's crazy. 2 weeks ago, as you well know, I'm in this big fantasy baseball league. There's a certain player who's had a terrible start to the season. And all of a sudden, he gets 2 hits in a game. And he plays the next day and gets 2 more hits in a game. And he plays the next day and gets 3 hits in a game. And the next day, he's on the bench. And I thought, why? Why? He's an everyday player. Well, because the analytics and the matchup suggested, hey, I understand those numbers. Golly, if anybody understands numbers, sometimes to a freakish and boring point, it's me. But I don't like the way the game is being played now. We have taken a lot of these everyday players and we made them 5 times a week players because analytics told us not to. Now, some of the analytics things don't bother me. Shifts don't bother me. Do they bother you?
No.
Okay, they don't bother me either.
Because I think sometimes these players have to adapt. If they're leaving one side of the field wide open and you feel that to break them out of that shift, guess what? Hit the ball where they aren't.
I agree.
And then maybe they won't be where you normally hit it and you can go about your business.
If the defense wants to put 7 people all gathered on one spot behind first base, that's their right to.
God, that'd be so fun. Wouldn't I'd love to see that, yeah. Even the catcher.
All of them, everybody in that one spot. But some things are mind-boggling, and these things are coming to the Rangers. Now, we talked about it is hard to manage a young club that is not going to win, like the Rangers. You're trying to keep winning alive. I understand that. But the idea of the Rangers, I think, should be there's a half a dozen players here now, maybe more, maybe less, who are part of the core, or you want to be part of the core. I'm going to point this out. Willie Calhoun's been tearing the cover off the wall. Just tearing it off. Hitting nearly 500 since they called him from minor leagues. Did Willie Calhoun start Sunday? Well, no. Did he start Monday? Did he start last night? Against Mike Leake at home? No. The Rangers started Senju Chu and left, Nomar Mazara and right, and Hunter Pence at DH, and Calhoun's somewhat smaller than last year, but was glued to the bench. Why in God's name is he sitting the bench? With everything I have, I'm going to tell you, I admire Senju Chu. He's a good player. And I admire that Hunter Pence has dug himself out of nowhere land to come back to the major leagues. But they aren't part of the future here. They just aren't. Willie Calhoun's the future here, or part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play against Mike Leake because of, we're told, favorable matchups? Out of hell with that. Next.
Now.
Okay.
You say that, and they wore Mike Leake's ass out last night.
I agree.
So the favorable matchups that they looked and they saw worked. They killed him.
Well, they did, but my point is, I don't think playing Willie Calhoun loses last night's ballgame. Boy, the bullpen almost lost it, but that's another matter. I don't understand. Okay, the matchups, the favorable matchups are good. When the Rangers get really good, I'm maybe a little more likely to look at the favorable matchups to win a game that matters. A game that matters does not carry the same as finding out the future of these young players. I'll give you another example. Ronald Guzman. Is he the Rangers' first baseman of the future? I don't know. He's 24. The Rangers signed him at 17. I don't know if Ronald Guzman shaved when he started playing ball for the Rangers. I'm serious. I don't know if he shaved. And here he is, brought to the major leagues, in my estimation, too soon last year. But when you're gasping for air and you're a bad club and he's a pretty good-looking AAA player, let's see. And they brought him to the majors, and he actually survived last year. And this year, the plan is the same as last year. He hardly plays against left-hand pitching. Well, when are we going to find out? I know what the analytics for that particular game says, Donnie. I'm not denying that. What I am saying is, we got to find out if Ronald Guzman's part of the future. We want an everyday first baseman here. Everyday means he plays against lefties. Did he do well against them last year? Well, no. He's only gotten 13 at-bats against them this year. And I swear to you, when the other team starts a lefty, he'll go to the bench and we'll play Logan Forsythe.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with Logan Forsythe. He's a fine veteran player having a really good year here. But at the end of the year, he's leaving. Hunter Pence is leaving.
But don't you have to somehow manage these young players a little? It's a little trickier than it was before as far as their mental state. Because if you get him in there against left-handers and he struggles and he struggles and he struggles, that could carry over to his entire game. And you want these young guys to see and find success before you throw them into the fire. Does that make sense?
Like it makes
you have to manage way more than there's a ton to go by. And their mental state, whether we like it or not, is one of those things where you have to get inside them and say, hey, look. We've got to make sure that they have as much success as possible because they are the future and they can work through some of those kinks if they have that success in their head.
That is perfect reasoning. My point is, this club hopes to be good in 21, maybe 22. This is where they hope to be good. If we arrive at 21 and we don't know if Ronald Guzman can left-hand pitchers, then we have done the team a disservice. And my point is, okay, he's going to struggle against left-handers. Tyler Skaggs is coming up later this week. I believe he will sit against Tyler Skaggs. I would play him against Tyler Skaggs. I would give the hitting coach more video of him against left-handers. What are you doing against left-handers? What is it? Are you bailing out? What is it about left-handers that bothers you? Sitting and watching the other team pitch a left-hander doesn't do Ronald Guzman any good. I understand the analytics, and I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying at some point, Willie Calhoun's got to be 155 days a year baseball player. And Ronald Guzman, I would like to think, is 150 to 155 days a year first baseman. Isn't that the wonderful thing about Gallo? We don't care who pitches, left
right.
hand, right hand, go, go, go. And we're trying to do the same thing with Odor, go, go, go. Now, Mazzara, we've started to platoon him a little bit and rest him against lefties. It's a tough job managing, but so many places around baseball are doing this. Cincinnati is a young outfielder named Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker can hit the pelota. But now they're sitting like those left-hand pitchers. The Reds aren't going anywhere. He's got to learn to hit that pitcher because he's got the potential to be a big-time player. And I think the same thing about Guzman.
I do think you have to stay true to your team as far as, all right, it's May, it's the end of May, and you're not 12 or 13 games out the wild card race. I think if things go as we think they're going with this team, and late July, early August, they are out of it, I think you may see more of that. But right now, when they're hovering around 500 and with all the bad teams in the American League, and there are a ton of terrible teams,
boy, there are.
You're in it. So when you look at those stats and you say, okay, this may help us win this game, even though it's sitting Calhoun and it's sitting Guzman, we got to go out there and try to win ball games because you just never know right now what could happen.
I fully understand that argument. My only thought is we also have to keep our eyes on the prize of 2021 or 2022. By the time that arrives, we have to know about these two and maybe six or seven other guys that are about to arrive over the next couple of years. We can't get to those years where we're going to be good and sit down and say, well, are we going to start playing Ronald Guzman against left-handers now? That won't be a time to experiment. That won't be a time to teach and learn. That'll be a time to win games. I understand the Dodgers doing that, let's say. Or the Yankees or people like that. I understand them doing that. But right now, we got to get these young pups into the next two or three years as full-blown, fully experienced. I know what I can expect. Donnie, maybe Guzman can't hit left-hand pitching. Maybe that is the absolute truth. We have to find out if that's the absolute truth. Is he a platoon first baseman? And is that the best he's ever going to be? That we got to figure out Guzman going forward and who he platoons with.